Canada is cracking down on temporary work visas, fewer approvals, tighter rules on families, and changes in key industries across the nation. What does all of this mean? Today, we'll find out more right here on The Daily Cancelled. Joining me today is Nir Rosenberg. Nir, you are an immigration specialist. Tell me a little bit about that.
Immigration consultant since 2007. Been representing clients on primarily all immigration matters in Canada. Temporary foreign workers, students, family reunification, pretty much everything that has to do with immigrating to Canada and obtaining some sort of a visa. Working with lots of different companies across Canada over the years, and of course, many different individuals and families.
Nir, tell me, in that time, this is quite a vast period of time we're talking about in terms of immigration in Canada. You've really spanned quite a number of changes. What are some of the most major changes you've seen, let's say, since just prior to COVID?
As far as, I mean, prior to COVID, Ottawa essentially over those years has been very lax on immigrating to Canada. So lots of foreign migration into Canada, whether it be for family reunification purposes or students, temporary foreign workers, they were very lax as far as permanent residency programs are concerned. Lots of different pathways, over 80, 85 different ways someone can become a permanent resident in Canada. The years, those programs have slightly tightened. But prior to the COVID era and during the COVID era, I would say that it was fairly relaxed. You had quite a big number of immigrants moving into the country in different fashion, in different forms.
And in that process, in the most recent years, we've had a major influx of immigration here in Canada, probably at the highest levels we've ever had in the country.
Yeah, the Canadian government has set different targets over the years. In the last government, we had hundreds of thousands of visas available for permanent residency. So there were above 550,000 permanent residency visas allocated annually. And of course, you know, over these years, we've seen a decline. And of course, very, very recently in the last several months, we've had news indicated by Ottawa that they are trying to reduce those numbers, of course, for many different reasons, but primarily because they've seen, you know, they've linked, I would say, the housing shortage and, you know, the healthcare shortage to that peak demand. So bringing in all these temporary foreign workers, students, immigrants, has resulted in some sort of a shortage of what they consider a shortage in those areas.
Well, I think that you can feel the impact of that kind of immigration that we've experienced. I think we are all feeling the impact of that, including the people who have migrated to this country. Now, there, as you point out, there's some new rules, and starting in, I think, as early as January of 2026, maybe it's earlier, you can inform us, there have been some major changes to the temporary work visa scenario. Tell us about that.
Yeah, it's actually prior to January 2026. They are, of course, implementing certain rules over time. So they are kind of, you know, rolling in new numbers and reducing certain allocations to visas and visa numbers over the course of several months, over a year period or 2 or 3 years. So it's not overnight. But they did start with some of these changes prior to 2026. Actually, in this past year, they've indicated that they are going to reduce the number of temporary foreign workers that are coming into the country, the number of students, and of course, overall, the number of permanent residency visas. So they went from 550,000 visas annually to they're going to be around 350 or 330,000 over the next couple of years. So it's a very drastic change in policy that has a very big impact on the population in Canada and on business in Canada. As far as some of those specific changes as it relates to the temporary foreign worker program, they are limiting employers from hiring temporary foreign workers, what they call the cap. So they, prior to COVID, prior to the last couple of years, they had a cap of 30% or higher sometimes. So they're now reducing that from 30% to 20%. And now in certain sectors, it's actually 10%. They're restricting employers from submitting applications to hire foreign workers, called the labor market impact assessment. Any employer that is interested in hiring a foreign worker typically has to submit those applications. Of course, there are certain exemptions to that rule, but generally speaking, this LMIA application has to be submitted. It's about a 15-page application form. You've got to do some advertising. You got to prove to the government of Canada that you do have some sort of a shortage, or you're bringing in a very skilled individual that has, you know, skills that you can't find in the country. And so with these changes, with unemployment rate being 6% or higher in certain regions in Canada, they've limited the number of applications that they're willing to accept. They've actually had something called a refusal to process. And if you are in an employer that's in a region that has 6% or more of unemployment rate, you are refused to process, so that you meet that requirement where you can't apply. That refusal to process does apply to you. And so there's stricter refusals. They're assessing applications on a much stricter base. They're increasing the refusals that they're issuing from the COVID-19 area, when prior to that time, you had pretty much any employer can submit an application, and it was very, very relaxed. They had approvals very quickly. They were just bringing in tons of foreign workers. Now it's very, very different, almost like a flip of a switch. They are making it much more difficult for employers to apply. And there are certain exemptions to that refusal to process, but this is something that has impacted a lot of employers in the country, because as you're probably well aware, there is a high unemployment rate that is actually above 6% in majority of the country.
Right.
It's from they're looking at it from a different angle, different from a growth first posture, what they did in the past few years. They're now looking at this from a needs perspective specifically.
So, I mean, if there's so much unemployment and that's a disqualifier, does that mean that the numbers could likely be lower than 350 based on, you know, qualifying to fill out these applications and have them qualify?
Yeah. So the 350 is actually the permanent residency visas that they're allocating, necessarily temporary foreign workers, but they are targeting to reduce the number of foreign workers in the entire country to about 5% of the population by the end of 2026.
And where are we at right now?
We're probably closer to even about a 6 or 7 or 8% of temporary foreign workers in the country.
So that is a pretty drastic drop, a reduction there. Let me ask you, if I was contemplating immigrating to Canada, this news is pretty devastating. And I wonder if in the countries where people are thinking about migrating from, if they know this. This might be the first time some people are getting the understanding that there are new rules, regardless of what you're hearing at home about this process. And I think it'd be valuable for people to know. How does this, do you think, impact the thought process of potential immigrants?
I think the news over the last little while has kind of trickled down to these different countries. And I think that people are now well aware that Canada is a little bit more restrictive. I think that, you know, Canada in general, people want to immigrate to Canada. People want to move to Canada. I always say, no matter how bad it is in Canada, it's probably worse somewhere else. And so people typically want to move to the country. But you know, there are individuals that we talk to, that I talk to on an everyday basis, and they ask, you know, what is employment like in Canada? Is it difficult? You know, where in Canada is it easier to live? And the answers are difficult. It's a very difficult conversation to have, because It depends on your skills. It depends where you're coming from. It depends on your language ability. It depends on your connection to the country. Do you have family here? Do you have a possible job offer here? And of course, job offers are slim to none today. It's very, very difficult for individuals to find employment when they're not in the country. And then getting into the country, it's a whole different ballgame. So, you know, they're doing things from a very far away, trying to understand, you know, what their options are. And they're now beginning to realize that Canada isn't as welcoming, so to speak, as they were in very recent years.
The new rules sound, they kind of remind me of how they used to be. You know, is there anybody else that is qualified here at home to do it before we go elsewhere? The restrictive rules that we're talking about now sound, they harken back to from whence we came.
Yeah. I remember when I first started back in 2007, it was difficult for employers to obtain labor market impact assessments. In the past, they were called LMOs or labor market opinions. The government, it used to be a two-page application form, and the government made it somewhat easy to apply. There was actually no fee, so they weren't paying a fee at the time. As time went on, they realized that they were, again, too relaxed with that respect. And they started making changes. They started taking fees from employers. They went from zero to 275 and then $1,000. And it's been ever since $1,000 an application or per person that you're trying to hire. So yes, back then it was essentially restrictive. You had a conservative government at the time. They were very, tight with the numbers that they were bringing in. And then I would say in the last 10 to 12 years, it's been fairly relaxed. I keep saying that word relaxed because that's what we've seen, our perspective.
It's a great description of it because that's exactly how it feels. I mean, it's obvious.
Yeah, I mean, from our perspective, we had our phones were ringing a lot. We had tons of people interested and we had form fills on our website and we had, individuals reaching out to us and asking, how can we qualify? How can we apply? How can we come to Canada? And it was a lot easier. We were able to give people information. We knew what to expect and we knew how to put somebody on a path to come to Canada. And then from being in Canada on a path to becoming a permanent resident, staying in the country. Now, with all the changes, it's making it very difficult. Like my job is very difficult. When someone asks me a question about how to come to Canada or how to apply for a job or how to get a work permit, or how to stay in the country, we sometimes tell them we don't know because we don't have a clear direction. The Ottawa has made all these changes almost overnight and they're making things much harder. So it's very difficult for us to instruct individuals on a path forward,
Yeah, no, that makes perfect sense. It does seem like it's happening very quickly. Of course, these programs have to be in effect for, even the experts like yourself to get through the process. The government themselves probably need the time to understand how they're doing it and iron out the kinks. What advice, Nir, would you give to somebody thinking about immigrating to Canada right now?
Work on your French proficiency. I think that's the biggest factor right now. If you're outside of Canada and you've got some sort of French proficiency or you're interested in learning French, that's going to go a long way over the course of the next few years. French is a priority. They're looking at that as a priority. If you are a skilled worker and you're in the construction trades or agricultural trades, I would say that you've got a good chance at finding a potential employer in Canada. Healthcare is another big one if you're in healthcare field. But if you're, if you've got office administrative experience and you're, 45 years old with a bachelor's degree, right now, it's not looking very positive for an individual with that background because Canada in the past was okay with that. They have what's called the Express Entry Program, and it's a points-based system. I always equate it to kind of like a lottery. So you get a set of points based on your age, your education, your language ability, and work experience and all that, and they rank you in the pool. So right now, that ranking system has got a lot of people that are in Canada trying to transition to becoming a permanent resident. Those that are outside of Canada are kind of pushed to the side. They're not necessarily picking people from outside of Canada, again, primarily because of that change in number. We're going from 550,000 to just over 300,000 in the course of a few years. And so the number of spots becoming available are limited, making the points requirement much, much higher. So they're not picking people from outside of Canada. Best advice, try to get a job offer, come to Canada as a student, and transition from inside of Canada to becoming a permanent resident. Outside of Canada, very, very difficult today.
Okay, I'm coming here as a student. What's that process like now? Will that change? I pay more to go to school here. I'm probably knocking some other local student spot out of the way. I'm certainly, if I'm a foreign student, I'm certainly a better client of the university. It doesn't seem like they will be too excited to reduce their numbers. But does any of the new ruling affect students coming into or out of school in Canada?
The changes that are being made were a lot of the changes were for the temporary foreign worker program and the permanent residency programs. There have been some changes to the study permit program. They are reducing the number of students, of course. They're limiting schools on approvals to issue acceptance letters, I would say, to students. And there's now a new requirement, which is called a provincial attestation letter. So anytime a student gets accepted to a university or college, they do have to get something called a PAL letter, or the provincial attestation letter. And that is a provincial letter that is issued to the student based on the number of spots available in the province for international students. I don't believe we have access to the number that is the quota or the allocated amount. Yeah. But they do have some sort of quota that they go based on. And if the quota is filled, then they don't issue any more provincial attestation letters. So it's almost like you get an acceptance letter and then the province has to approve the student to apply for a study permit.
And once I graduate, how long can I stay? Did that change, or is that all still the same?
No, that's some of that has changed. Provincial, the post-grad work permit process, or the program, allows students to come to Canada, complete a program, whether it's a college degree or a certificate program or a graduate program, and at the end of their successful completion of the program, they can apply for something called a post-graduation work permit. This work permit is an open permit, allows them to work anywhere they want, and it's valid for typically the duration of their study program. So if they studied for a year or two, they can get it for a maximum of 3 years. That is something that students really look forward to. That's one of the main reasons why they come to Canada as students, because they can obtain that work permit, giving them an opportunity to gain Canadian work experience. And then from there, they could possibly transition to permanent residency. However, one of the major changes that was implemented very recently was, I believe, on January 29th of 2025. So just a few months back, and it applies to foreign workers as well. Individuals in Canada on a work permit are not able to bring in their spouses on an accompanying work permit, on an open work permit, unless they meet, unless they're in a specific occupation. So they've got to meet the specific occupation on a list. And if they're not on that list, then the spouse is not eligible for that open work permit. So that affects students as well, who are coming into Canada with their partners, or have come to Canada with their partners, studied, completed a program, expected a work permit for them and their spouse, and now are unable to get that because they're working in jobs that are not eligible. So there has been some of those changes. Yeah.
Nir, I got to tell you, you've cleared up a lot of stuff, because as you point out, it's come at us like we're drinking from a fire hose on this topic. I think many would say, yeah, we needed to tighten this process, but it came very quick. And first of all, I wish you luck in the process of reacclimating to new rules. I'm sure that that's something that you are used to. But I appreciate you kind of laying it out for us. And I would love it if anybody wanted to reach out to you to ask anything I didn't ask today. I would encourage them to do that. Where can people reach out to you?
They can reach us on our website, which is www.canadianvisas.com. There's a form online. They can call us at 416-665-3939. They could always reach us through our social media channels, which are Instagram, Canadian Visas, and Facebook, Canadian Visas. So they could find us there. We're trying to keep up with all of the changes. And you're right. What I think is that the government is trying to kind of put a quick Band-Aid on a problem that they created years ago. And so they're flipping the switch, and it's certainly come out of left field, and every day there's something new. So we're always kind of evolving with the times.
Best to leave it to an expert. That's why we called on you. Thank you very much, Nir. I really appreciate it.
Thank you for the opportunity.
And I appreciate you tuning in getting this valuable information. Don't hesitate to send it to a friend, share, comment, like, dislike. It's all good. Let's have some discourse. For the guy in the tie and producer, Nick, thanks for joining us. This is The Daily Canceled. We'll catch you next time.